And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. In the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio, I'm Joe Rex Road. And guess who's back this week? Paul Kaharski, you came back.
Of course, you got muted. Came back. I thought we had a deal.
Insta-mute.
I thought we had a deal.
I say don't. Nick Kieser, I say we have Paul. He has to mute and unmute himself. I'm here for it.
It's his first full week. I'll get used to it. We'll be good. Paul had a couple of days with us last week. I'll have that microphone down for you, Paul.
I want autonomy, so I want to do it myself. So I guess if Paul wants you to spoon feed him the muting, then you know, I guess that's fine.
I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. This is synthetic turf, not any other kind of grass. Easy backyard lawn installations that look great and get you maintenance-free. No more fertilizing, watering, or mowing. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com.
And Robbie and Rex Showed is presented by TJ Anderson Homes, a Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at TJAndersonHomes.com. Robbie Stanley, of course, home with the baby. Robbie and Heather, I got some word over the weekend. All is going well.
Excellent.
You had a rough sleep night early, but then a really good sleep night a day or two after they got home. So hopefully that is continuing.
How are your sleep nights?
My sleep nights, I sleep like an absolute rock. As soon as my head hits the pillow, it's pretty much over.
Was there a 4:30 in the morning preparation for school today?
No.
They scaled that
back? Yeah, no. Apparently that's just day one.
I surveyed a lot of people as to whether this was happening among other 8th grade girls, and they agreed that 4:30 was early.
Extreme. Well, I got a text that day from a friend of the show, Dane in Nolensville, and his daughter, my daughter, know each other, but he said, 5 a.m. They woke me up. She was in there. They're doing the group chat. I'm like, so maybe it's a Nolensville thing. Man, I don't know. At Nolensville, we just get fancy, you know? Maybe that's it. But, yes, that is a little bit excessive. Real quick, since we're talking about sleep and Robbie and the baby, what are your memories of those first few days with Simon?
Well, the day after Simon was born was the day the Titans lost 50-something to nothing to the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
In New England.
Right.
So I remember laying on the little side bed kind of thing with him on my chest, kind of half watching that and being really happy that I wasn't covering that game.
Right.
And hanging out with him. He didn't want to eat. So that was our struggle, was to get him to eat. I remember the dog stuff. You know, they tell you to get something that smells like the baby to take home to the dog in advance, and then taking him in his carrier into the middle of our house and letting Finley, our dog who's now 16, sniff him and thinking how cool it was that he immediately kind of took to Simon and kind of defended him, kind of took a stance, like with his back to the baby, making sure nobody was coming for the baby.
Wow, that's cool. And Finley still rocking at 16.
Finley has trouble getting up. Finley tore both ACLs, so he's got two ACL repair surgeries, and he has trouble standing up. And so if he's at my feet at my desk and I'm going to refill my water, I say, Finley, don't get up. I'm just going to fill my water. But inevitably, he gets up and follows me and then follows me back. And I'm like, we don't have too many times standing up left.
Save these.
So, yeah, don't waste
them. Save them, yeah.
Meanwhile, his replacement, not his replacement dog, but the dog we got to be his brother and for all of that, you know, had his leg amputated within a year and a half. So we had some dog trauma.
Wow. Yeah, it's Yeah, I remember the eating stuff for sure. It's all a blur, though, man.
It really is.
It is all a blur. And it was so yesterday.
He was also born during a Yankees-Phillies World Series. So I just declared that whoever won that World Series, he would be a fan of, because my wife's from Philadelphia, and the Yankees won that World Series. But I remember not seeing a lot of that World Series because we were, you know, on sleep shifts and whatnot.
I definitely watched some Tigers. All my kids were born between the end of July and beginning of September, like all three. So Definitely watched some Tigers and at least one awful Lions preseason game.
So I hit a home run last year because his birthday is October 16th. Last year, the Titans had a bye on October 6th, on the weekend of October 16th, which was terrific.
Yeah.
And this year, they'll play in London the weekend of October 16th.
You are going to London? You going to the London game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Take him with you.
Well, I took him with me last time.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, speaking of preseason, it's game week, Paul. Get excited. It's game week. Titans, Bears this week.
But are you going?
I am going.
It's shocking to me that you're going.
Yeah, well, some of this stuff is personal logistics. For example, the Patriots week, I solo am moving my oldest back into Michigan State. Like, I have to. My wife has a work trip. My mom's coming. So, and I'm not going to Minnesota. It's like, I mean, those practices are good. It probably would have made sense to just go for a couple days and come back. I looked at it in terms of, yeah, I'm not doing like a four-day trip. You know what I mean? So basically, I was like, I think that this preseason game is interesting because I think actually all these games could be interesting to some extent because of the quarterback situation. And the offensive line, the kicker, I was like, well, you know, why not?
See, I was trying to go to Chicago because Springsteen plays at Wrigley the night before the
game. I'm going, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Enjoy. I saw three earlier, so I'm not feeling that badly, though going to Wrigley would have been cool. I'm not going to either of the road games, but I am going to the Minnesota practices.
Yeah.
But then staying like the Friday and Saturday to see the game is too much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to have FOMO that week because it was a chance to go see my guy Kirk Cousins, and I won't get a chance to see him again. Yeah. Love that dude.
I think he's really done wonders for himself. I'm not finished the quarterback series, and I don't know that I will, but boy, did he help himself in public eye.
That's who he is. Yeah. That's what I've told you before. Like, he's like the best
yell at him. Why didn't he show that in his 11 years or however long he's been in the league? It took until this special for America to see that that's what he's like.
He has not been any different. I mean, he basically...
He's not showed a glimmer of that.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. If you've paid attention...
Hardly a glimmer.
Well,
I mean, look, I'm not... I'm not watching him closely.
Yeah, exactly.
But nobody has... Nobody outside of Washington or Minnesota has any idea that he's like that.
But how do you show a glimmer, you know, without something, without a
you
vehicle
do a
like
big
this?
Profile with somebody? I don't know.
People have written bigger profiles. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's hard for me going back to knowing him since he was a freshman in college. Like, he has not changed one bit. It's exactly who he is. Just like, if you want to look more at him, there he is. You know, I can't blame him. I mean, everybody knew him basically as the you like that guy or whatever, or the guy who was overpaid. You know, we all judge people based on their performance, which is fine. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that he's like hid himself.
You
from
think
anyone.
He's done good PR?
Well, it's up to him to do his PR?
Yeah.
Why?
It's not up to you to handle how you come across publicly? Of course it is.
But he does come across that way publicly. I mean, if you talk to people who covered in Washington or Minnesota, or people who are fans. The thing is, even like fans, what I feel like I've seen is like, everybody likes him, but he's not good enough. That's fair. I mean, you know, he's a good quarterback. It's kind of like the quarterback here, right? But I don't... Like, what misconception about his personality was there out there?
I think the conception of his personality is that he's kind of too quiet, not...
Too quiet? That's never been him.
Not much of a leader.
Dude, what? Then you are beyond not paying attention. I mean, the guy has been a tremendous... unbelievable leader his entire career, college and pro. I mean, he makes up for what he lacks as a player because of that. Like, and that's you missing that. That's not him not communicating that. If you pay any attention, he is. I mean, even look at like the way his teammates have reacted to him at different points. That should tell you something, right? That some of that stuff has come out publicly.
Yeah, listen, the way teammates react to a quarterback can be a complete lie. The Titans love Marcus leads like crazy. Marcus is phenomenal in the huddle. We would die for Marcus. We all know that Marcus was not a good leader.
No, but Marcus was liked.
Liked.
Genuinely liked.
Yeah. Liked in a way that didn't matter to football.
Yeah, but yes.
So it was all BS.
Well, except you still had at different points. You had an Eric Decker come out and say something. You had a DeMarco Murray come out and say. I mean, shoot, Vrabel's time with Marcus. It was almost immediately obvious some of the stuff he was saying. You know, like at his first camp, right? Like, yeah, you're used to something else, and this guy is not that guy. But if you want to take it to
Cousins.
I'm
saying in virtually every locker room, no matter who the quarterback is, people will say the same thing because they're trained to
say
good things about the quarterback.
They'll say the same thing. I'm talking about, you know, actual reactions. For example, like last year when they – whatever game they won. Was it the – I don't know. But, you know, they put the chains on them on the plane and stuff. I mean, like – reacting to someone when you see it, it's not like, oh, yeah, he's a good leader, he's a good quarterback. You see the difference? This is actually like a group of people and how they're responding to someone. I mean, if you paid attention, I'm not saying you should have paid that close of attention, but his leadership has never been remotely questioned.
I'm just not alone in saying I watched this thing and came away with a completely different feel for Kirk Cousins than I had previously.
No, I agree. I'm just saying.
And that's and I believe that's on him.
Yeah,
partly on him.
I mean, if I'm him, I just care about being a good player.
Don't give me that.
Who cares about the PR?
I just care about being a good player
and
a good teammate and a good leader.
Well, who cares? I mean, what does it matter, honestly? Like, it's great that more people like him now, but how's that going to change his life? Who cares? Like, he's either going to play well and he's going to continue to stay in this league as a starter or he's not. You and other people who watch this program were like, who gives a crap? Why does he give a crap?
Why do you think he did the program?
I don't know. Did he get paid? He get paid well?
I don't know if they get paid. I doubt it.
Oh, they get paid something.
Well, listen, you do something like this for exactly what he got. And
what is it? How's it going to benefit him? I mean, he was already going to be he can be a hell of an announcer if he wants to when he's done. That was already the case. People in the league know him. So, like, it's not changing that.
Look, I'm not particularly well-liked, but the things that I do that get me liked occasionally feel good. I like it when I do something that people like.
Okay.
So
he
probably feels
good
for him. Yeah. What's it get him? It gets him liked. Being liked is nice. It's fun.
Yeah, but... Again, I just
for most people.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so there's people who didn't know him well who like him now, who weren't really paying attention who like him. Okay.
Yeah. You think his agency likes that? You think his management likes that? You think his coach likes that? You think his team likes that? You think he likes that? You think his wife, who's incredibly likable in this, likes that?
Sure.
And says, boy, this is great. People used to misunderstand you and now they get you.
Yeah, but again,
there's a lot of benefits.
But if you're
what's
someone,
he care? Of
well,
course he cares.
Okay, but if you're someone who came into that saying, you know, I don't know if this guy's much of a leader. That's a gross lack of paying attention to his career.
Admit to not caring much about his career. I care more about his career now than I did before.
And now you're a big fan of Kirk Cousins.
I wouldn't say big fan.
That's the takeaway. All right. Well, we were going to talk about Titans. We'll talk about them next. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie Rexo, Joe Rexo, Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie, Nick Kieser, intern Brandon, and Paul.
Did you ever, Joe, think about a bocce court or like a croquet in your backyard? How cool would that be?
I would love some croquet.
You could do that with Nashville Grass 365. Just check them out at nashville.grass365.com, and you'll be hosting fancy parties in your backyard in no time.
You know what croquet makes me think of? The movie Heathers. You know the movie Heathers?
Yes, I do.
Such a great movie. And some really good croquet played in that movie. If you'd like to join the conversation, get on the 102.5 The Game phone and text line driven by Wilson County. Let me try that again. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. I think we're done arguing about Kirk Cousins. He's amazing. Paul Kaharsky's a huge fan of Kirk Cousins. He will try to get his autograph. Maybe you and Stilly can get his autograph up there during the practices that week. But say hi for me.
Getting an autograph, a low moment in any professional career. Absolute embarrassment.
Okay, Will from Nashville says, okay, it's this kind of take on Cousins that really urges people, E-R-R-G-S people, about PK. Everything you're saying is right. He's saying me. Not being liked by some obnoxious journalist in Nashville is priority 1,000. Wow, Will. Will's coming off top rope to you.
I didn't hate him or anything. I mean, is that bothersome? I'll reverse it and say, this guy's absolute love for Kirk Cousins irks me.
There you go. Is
it hero
is
worship?
Is it Irks or Irks?
I-R-K-S.
I-R-K, yeah. But some people like to say Irks.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, listen, Will, I appreciate that. And I'm just saying, I think at least Cousins' leadership has been pretty clear. But, yes, the likability factor, for sure, higher. This is a nice keepsake for him and his family now to watch this. I haven't watched the whole thing. Actually, I'm like three episodes in, so I haven't even.
Maybe four.
Yeah, like I'll finish it. I think it's good. I do think that it was a little bit oversold when I heard some of the reaction when it first came out. Like, it's good.
Well, I want to get to the Mariota quitting on his team part.
Yes.
And then hear all the Titans fans make excuses for him.
Yeah, is that what's going to happen? How many Titans fans are, like, still...
Oh, all of them.
Yeah, come on. All Titans fans are, like, still Mariota slappies?
70%.
I have a high doubt about that. I might have to do a poll on that one.
I don't think it's that high.
I mean, last year when that happened,
guys, are
I did not sense a whole bunch of people here scrambling to defend him. It was like, oh, God, don't take your ball and go home, Marcus. What are you doing?
Marcus has an excuse. He's having a baby. Ritter was in ahead of him. Didn't matter. Season was over.
You have some real Marcus issues, apparently. We're really
real Marcus issues.
Let's get to the Titans on Friday. So, first of all, you and I were both there. I want to get your thought on the Skoronski conversation we had, which I didn't take as any sort of confirmation of anything, but I also didn't take as any sort of dunking on the idea that one of these days we may show up to practice and that offensive line may look different. You agree with me or no?
I mean, I don't think they're on the verge of doing something. Now, I would presume they're going to play in Chicago. I think they should play in Chicago. And then they should, you know, play the practices in Minnesota and then maybe not the game for having played the practices. I don't know. I can't get in Mike Vrabel's mind on that. I would think they'd be due after Minnesota for an assessment. And if it's not gone well, then maybe we see a shuffle there. But I don't feel like they're on the verge of a shuffle now. I think they think Dillard's been better since he's gone into pads. You know, they've brought in another right tackle candidate now with a little bit of experience whose name I don't have off the top of my head. But I think they're more content and things have settled down to a larger degree than maybe people think, and they're going to go forward with it as it is right now.
I think this week we're going to see probably the same thing. I think likely, and I think you go into the preseason game, and I'm with you. I think it's worth getting some, you know, some work in that game. You know, we know that the Bears have confirmed that Justin Fields is playing at least some Saturday.
Dumb. I mean, good for the Titans, but dumb.
Right. Good look for the defense. So, but I do. Does that mean also that, you know, are they a little more likely to play their ones D a little bit more in this game too? If so, I mean,
I doubt it.
I just feel like that work is important. I don't think
it's important for the Titans front to play. I mean, I don't think it's important for Simmons or
no. I'm talking about. I'm flipping it around. I'm saying right. If they're playing Fields, does that mean they're also playing some of their other regulars on the Bears on defense? Does that mean
that would be good?
A little more value for the Titans to
The new offensive tackle, by the way, Justin Murray, who's got a little experience, 37 games, 20 starts over five NFL seasons with the Raiders, Arizona, Buffalo. So he's a journeyman. But he's got eight starts at right guard, so you throw him in with Hubbard and the rest of the gang over there.
But he's got – am I wrong that he has 12 at right tackle? Is that right? I thought it was 12 at right tackle. Did I have that wrong?
Total 12 starts at right tackle.
Okay.
Eight at right guard.
Yeah. So I guess that's the competition now, potentially. I mean, Hubbard has come in and sort of, you know, just entrenched himself as – right tackle one, but what if Jamarco Jones had just been chill last week and, you know, had just gone about his business and played normally? I mean, what would it look like? It's, you know, we'll never know. But with Skoronski in that conversation, But you were there before I was. I know you were talking to him for, it sounds like something maybe on strength training. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be out tomorrow probably.
Okay. It was interesting. One, he you know, confirmed, he talked to, as they call him, Haas, hoteling the, you know, the
new offensive line coach
about moving. And he didn't really say when, but it talked about him and talked about, I asked him about right side. When's the last time you worked on the right side? Because to me, now you could do the flip-flop with him and Diller, but I think if there's a move with him, I think it's more likely over there.
To right?
I think. You don't think so?
I don't. I think you got to pick a right tackle out of that bunch, and you got to be solid at left tackle. The thing that's really sticking with me, out of everything that Vrabel's said so far, I think the most passionately stated thing out of everything he said is we build inside out on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And we protect inside out.
No, look,
he said
ideally,
that with such force that makes me really feel like they'd like to play Skaronski at guard.
Sure. I think there's no doubt. I mean, that's why they started. I mean, if you start something and you're going to weeks, not to mention go back to the spring, that's what you want to happen, right? I mean, you want him to be at left guard and you want to be strong in the interior.
Which goes hand in hand with them wanting Dillard to succeed at tackle.
Right. I mean, and I hear you on, and that's the thing, it's like, I hear you on, they are happier, are saying they're happier with Dillard at left tackle.
They want to be happier,
yeah.
Too.
Like, is that, from your perspective, do you see a significant uptick?
Well, I haven't seen Arden Key
just absolutely batter him, yeah. That's true. I mean, the low point was pretty low.
Here's my thing about Dillard, and I know you disagree with me on this because we've discussed it with Dylan Radins. I need offensive linemen to have a little fire and a little spark behind their eyes and a little personality, and you disagree with me on this. But all the good ones who've passed through here, even quieter guys like Benji Olson and Big Country, Dave Stewart. They had a little swagger to them and a little, you know, even if they didn't say anything, they'd shoot off a one-liner here and there that showed off their feeling of dominance or ability to dominate or something like that. I don't see that in Dylan Radins, and so far I don't see it in Andre Dillard. And that's something to me. You tend to think it doesn't mean anything.
I mean, I don't. Look, I hate to keep taking this to Michigan State and Kirk Cousins' teammates in college, but did you see that from Jack Conklin? I mean, Jack Conklin was the most quiet, calm dude, and he crushed people. He just crushed people. I think that you can have different personalities and be an effective player. I mean, look, I'd rather have that. I don't disagree there. Like, hey, bring that intensity, have that edge. I mean, I think that can other people can feed off it. It's not a bad thing. I prefer it, but I think there's plenty of examples of guys who, you know, perform and don't, and they just kind of go about their business, right? Especially with some of the big uglies, I think.
I just worry about a little bit, and this isn't just Dillard. I'm running through the line now. We don't know Hubbard, but he's going to be temporary. Brunskill seems like a pretty good guy, pretty good talker. Brewer, we know what he is. Skaronski's coming along. And it was a good conversationalist the other day. Dillard is a dud in terms of talker.
What? Oh, I totally disagree with that.
Dillard?
Yeah. Had a great conversation with him.
Is that right?
Yeah. If he's good, he'll be good.
I'm curious about their overall personality as a
well.
Group.
Look, you lose LaJuan, and it's a, you know,
well,
take LaJuan, away the
LaJuan
football
wasn't
aspect
there last
of it.
Year.
Yes, but still, the loss still hurts. All right, we come back. We're going to stick with the offensive line. An answer Mike Vrabel gave on Jamarco Jones was I took as kind of indicative of something else. Come up next, Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to leave it at this: that we all have a responsibility to the team. I think my job is to protect the team. I think the player's job is to find a way onto that team. And so we always are going to hold the team in high regard and make sure that everything we do and how we carry ourselves is in the best interest of the team.
That was Mike Vrabel Friday talking about Jamarco Jones. Basically, I asked him, you know, is it just as simple as this? And, it, I mean, kind of confirmed that, right?
There's a bad follow-up there, I think, from Stilley. Is it harder because you knew him in high school?
You know what, though?
Which is a kindergarten question.
Well.
No, it's a business, and a guy's hurting the team, and I cut the guy. If I knew him in kindergarten, I would have cut the guy.
Well, you know, you can. I don't know that it was a kindergarten question. Yeah, I will say that the answer from Vrabel that elicited a good answer, which is what? It's not hard to protect the team. That's a pretty good quote from Mike Vrabel.
It's a pretty obvious quote from Mike Vrabel.
Okay. Gotta talk about Stillman. Huh? I'm trying to not bring up Jared Stillman all the time, and you can't stop.
No, that's not true. I've stopped, but there's new new element of Stillman not being good at something.
Well, anyway, welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hit us up on the game and phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025.
I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365, synthetic turf kind of grass. Get yourself a great backyard green and turn yourself into your foursome's best chipper and putter. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com.
Now, see if you follow me on the. Oh, first of all, before I get to the point I wanted to make, let me go to that text line. Trent says, "I had a high enough respect for Cousins. I don't even have to watch the show. Already likable, 10 out of 10 in my opinion. However, Paul's opinion of him makes me like Paul a little less. LOL." Chuck,
I could take it.
What's that?
I could take it.
All right. Chuck says, "I didn't want Mariota when he was drafted. He's just not that good." Hayden from Springfield says, "I've been a Titans fan for 22 years. I could care less about Marcus Mariota." Hayden, you couldn't care less.
Thank you.
Come on, Hayden. But other than that, I appreciate your contribution there. So anyway, come with me on this, Paul. See if you buy this. Maybe I'm parsing words a little bit too much. Just the Vrabel answer. So I asked him about Jamarco. You didn't like Stilly's follow-up. I can't call him Stilly.
Yes, you can.
I gotta stop doing it.
You've adopted it.
Yeah, I gotta get off that. So his answer to me, correct me if I'm wrong, a year ago, same situation. Okay? Exact same conditions, everything that happens. Don't you think that Vrabel at some point says, "Well, you know, John and I talk about things, John, you know what I mean?"
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it was like, that's interesting. Like, basically, he's just like coming out and saying, "Yep, personnel decisions." Again, am I overreacting?
No.
Or you kind of thought that,
and I think it's an excellent thought.
Thank you.
No mention of Ran. No, didn't blink and didn't talk about it.
It just sounds like Belichick. This is why everybody knows I run the roster.
Yeah. Well, not it didn't take it that way. I mean, didn't. But. If Stretch is listening, he'll take that right to Vrabel, and we'll see if next time Vrabel goes out of his way to mention Carthon to make it not like that, or if he's saying, "Yeah, you're damn right. That's how it's going to be." And next time he doesn't mention Carthon again.
See, now it's tainted again, though, because we've said it publicly. You know, it's like the whole Vrabel mood.
Well, when we said it the first time, you know. when you said it, they're smart enough to think that without me having to extrapolate it for them.
Yes. No, I know. Right. I mean, immediately it comes out, and now it's like, yes, well, I guess we'll have to see.
But That's a very good thought on your behalf.
Because I can't – I mean, I'm not going to. I don't care to go back on all the other times that personnel was brought up. But
you're
pretty much – it's always like, well – and sometimes we, John, you know, which is as it should be. Now, this is also – I think one thing to keep in mind with this is one of those kind of emotional reaction situations where...
And it's about something that happened on the
it's
field.
It's about something that happened on the field. So it is a little different. That's worth keeping in mind. But, yeah, that's something that kind of struck me. Meantime, George Fant, if the Titans could go back, would they offer more to him? I mean, I don't know how good George Fant is compared to these guys. He's a little more coveted than these guys.
I think George Fant, the one thing you have to think of outside of the fact that he got, you know, money that suggests he's a 17-game starter as opposed to a 6-game starter and then a backup, is that he's got a balky knee, I think, and I wonder how he did in the medical there. So that's just one variable that I don't think people are necessarily putting into play when they think that the Titans cheap played it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll see with him and these guys. I think it's, again, probably going to be one of these two guys. I'm not dismissing. And TD has been on the move Brunskill out. That'd be something where then you can preserve what you have on the left side. And not,
so who's he want at right guard?
Well, I think
he's going.
This is where, and this is the thing about the Titans. I do feel like their depth at guard, there's at least some serviceable guys who have done something in the field. You have Jordan Roos, who you could put in there. You have Corey Levin. I think Levin's been a little nicked up again, yeah. Right? But at least like those guys have played some football to where you feel like you could be okay. Whereas on the outside, you know, right now it's very questionable.
I'm not in love with Brunskill in either spot.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it is hard. I feel like with Brunskill, he's seen 98 quite a bit, and so when you see 98, you look bad by comparison. So,
I mean, he wasn't the starter in the league last year.
Sure. Well, right. I mean, look, this is where we're talking about Vrabel and Rand and who's doing what and deciding what. I don't think there's any question that Brunskill in particular, and Alshire is another guy who looks really good, by the way. You know, guys who he's leaning on, and Arden Key to a point too. He's leaning on what he saw and saying, you know what?
Projecting.
Yeah. And saying, like, you know, and at least, and even with Dillard too, you do have, with all those guys, you have the explanation of, man, those rosters were loaded and they'd be starting on 27 teams in this league, but it just didn't work out there, right? I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, that's a huge storyline of this season, but also kind of like a glimpse at, like, Rand Carthon and being able to project and being able, you know, because you're trying to fix this offensive line, and he's done it with guys who are trying to prove they should be starters.
All right, so I don't disagree with any of that, but you name the three potentially biggest guys they brought in, right, for the biggest roles anyway. A starting offensive lineman, the inside linebacker who's going to be on the field the most, and a starting outside linebacker who is going to go from being a pass rush specialist to being an every down guy.
And, right? And another starting offensive lineman. There's four.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
I'm
leaving Dillard out of it. Right? So the vast majority of the guys they bring in are guys. This Dillard's a good comparison here. Are guys that they're projecting up because they know them. Dillard is the good experiment to me. They're projecting him up without hands on, eyes on, daily experience.
Right. Right.
I know this happens all around the league. You rely on guys you know and you've seen. I like to see them a little bit more rely on their scouting department. We scouted this guy, and they're doing that with Dillard. We scouted this guy coming out. We've had an eye on him during his 4 years. Based on that and the people that we've talked to and the research that we've done, we think at this price he's going to pan out and be better. Same thing with the coaching staff where, you know, hey, we don't like necessarily what we've gotten out of Hazlitt, who replaced McKenzie. And so where do we go? Oh, our friend Bobby King is available, and we know him from Houston. So automatically we're hiring the guy we know from Houston instead of doing an extensive search and finding the best inside linebacker coach who might bring us a whole bunch of new ideas and new parameters. I think they're too insular this way, generally speaking.
They being Vrabel.
Yeah, they being the organization, they being Vrabel.
Yeah,
and Jamarco Jones is another one. He knew him, and you were making fun of my tweet when I was driving to practice the other day. Well, they knew him in high school, you know, but he came here and he didn't do a damn thing for $3.1 million. You know, nor did Kevin Pamphile, who John Robinson knew from Tampa Bay. You know, nor did. You know, I'm not thinking, but their veteran offensive linemen since Dennis Kelly have largely been guys they knew from somewhere. Kendall Lamb, who
remind me
who
of the connection knew. There.
I think he was in Houston at one point.
Oh, okay.
He didn't do a damn thing. So there are three swings and misses of veteran offensive linemen who they knew. Are they over-prioritizing guys they know instead of shopping a market that they should know and bringing in a better guy? Now, Dennis Kelly was a trade, but that was a home run for offensive line.
Yeah. No, it's fair. I mean, I think there's plenty of acquisitions out if you take it outside the offensive line. There's plenty of acquisitions I think have been based on scout. I mean, Khalif Raymond's an example of, I think their scouting department doing a great job of finding a guy who just had a few reps with the Giants in preseason. And look, I mean, he helped out. Whatever you think of Khalif Raymond, that's a good find, you know. But I mean, I think it's a totally fair thing to bring up. Also fair, Will from Nashville says, Joe only giving grief to listeners about poor grammar. What about PK? Laying on the couch? Apparently, you know, it should be lying on the couch. Look, if the show's making a habit of calling textures out, which is fine with me, I've called you out. But we have to call PK out. He probably thinks laying is proper. Might as well help him. You agree? Fair. You concede? Okay. All right, PK apologizes, okay? All right, we come back. PK, actually, I wanted some declarations from PK on the Titans, so we're going to have some absolute facts laid out about the Titans by PK. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Get out of the summer heat and join us for Craft Brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2023 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival. The fun begins this Friday from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena. Proceeds benefit the Preds Foundation, which supports Middle Tennessee nonprofit groups and programs in the community. Welcome back in, Robbie Rexrode. Paul Karhusky in for Robbie Stanley this week.
I'm here courtesy of Nashville Grass 365. They can install turf around your pool, which means no more grass in the water and no more dirt tracked into your lovely home. Head to nashville.grass365.com to learn more.
Okay, now I've asked for your takes, and I don't care if you don't like that I call them takes. I'm going to keep calling them takes. You're going to call him Stilly? I'm going to call him takes. So give me – I want some – I called them declarations, though. Some Paul Karhusky right now –
You can't change up on me when I'm doing declarations. And well, now you change your takes, it would change what I did.
A declaration is a take, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why we call them not takes.
Okay, but I mean, it's what they are. So whatever you want to call them, I want the things that you feel good about saying right now about the Tennessee Titans.
The success of the four-man pass rush will determine the success of the team.
Okay.
And I think it'll be good, you know, with Landry back, who looks good so far, with a healthy Simmons, who missed two games and hobbled for most of the season after that, with a healthy Autry, who missed, I think, five games and hobbled after that. I think that's the key to the whole team.
So I had this idea that you were going to say these things, and I was going to talk in the Paul Karhusky voice and, like, translate it, but it's a stupid idea. Let's just talk about these things. It's dumb. It's just you can't force the Paul Karhusky voice. The people keep asking me to do the Paul Karhusky voice. They love it, you know, but it's just – I can't – it's just – it's artificial here. So,
Maybe during my stay here we could have the actual positive PK visit us.
Oh, yeah, positive PK. Yes, that's a great
idea.
He's
a delight.
I feel like today we may need that, especially after what we've talked about in the first hour. Okay, so first of all, I mean, I'm with you. I guess I would also – I would maybe say it a little differently. Like, I think it's the strength of the team. So, like, I feel a certain level of certainty – that it's going to be good. I mean, as you laid out there, I think this is where some people are missing on the Titans too. Like when people talk about their roster being bad around the league, stuff like that. You know, once Simmons and Autry both got hurt and were ineffective last year, you lost so much of your superpower, right?
Right.
So I think, I just don't know if I agree that it'll dictate. To me, the weakness dictates the season. Can the other side be okay? Because what they have.
To me, this covers the back end, which I think even at peak strength isn't that good necessarily. And it gets the ball back for the offense in better situations by shortening drives for the offense or forcing turnovers. That gets the offense the ball in some favorable positions, making them not have to drive the full field.
Okay. Declaration number two.
Ryan Tannehill's better than people think as long as you're not playing in mid-January.
You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, I think most people would agree with that. I think you're a little off on, like, the prevailing or you know, continuing love for Mariota in this town. I do think –
compared to Tannehill, I mean – The contempt for Tannehill connected to the playoff failures is so disproportionate to the love for Mariota based on Mariota's failures.
Okay. So you're telling me you think Let's take.
People love Mariota because he didn't go. He didn't lead them to 2-win or 3-win seasons. He's a savior because he got them back to average, as compared to praise for Tannehill to making them a consistent playoff team.
I think some of that used to be true, but I think people, by the time they switched from Mariota, people were like, okay, we've seen the guy, right? I think you're...
No, but the thing for Mariota isn't like, oh, he couldn't lead us further. It's like, oh, so I feel so badly that he couldn't lead us further. He's such a nice guy. If only he could have led us further.
Okay, there's a
Things
certain...
didn't break right for him.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a certain, like, I think there's a certain level of, wow, nice guy, root for him, hope he does well, really liked him, but also wasn't good enough. I think a large majority of Titans fandom understands that he's not good enough. I mean, so you tell me if you're how many Titans fans right now would take Mariota over Tannehill?
Oh, very few.
Okay. All right, so you're not going
But they
there.
Wish like hell he could have been the guy.
Yeah.
Most quarterbacks who flame out, teams have contempt for. Damn guy didn't get it done. With Marcus, it's like, oh, I so wish he could have been the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I hear you on that. You know, you're talking about the number two pick, and again, likeable guy, although again, I do think, and I
likeable guy, he's a blank slate.
Sure,
zero.
Sure, he doesn't. There's not a lot. I will say it's funny because on the QB documentary, I think it's exactly the same as what we saw. Right? It's like, hey, there he is, just not saying anything. Just yeah, it is. But there's that, and the compared to unlikability is different. But I will say this too on Tannehill. Look, the Bengals game, I remember what I wrote and what we talked about for months after that was like, yeah, it's been a nice run. He's just not good enough. You got to upgrade. Which
He'll get you there again.
Yeah, like I don't back off that, but I will say that since then I've been really impressed with his response. I think last year
– I have too.
And this is another thing where last year I think if you didn't watch the team closely, if you're around the league and you just kind of like look at the numbers and highlights – you thought he was bad last year, probably, and I think there's some of that, but I don't think he was. I think he actually did. He tried to make chicken out of chicken bleep as much as he could. So, all right, number three.
All right, I'm going to skip to a big, broad one that is a huge pet peeve of mine.
Huge.
Mike Vrabel is an excellent coach, but all the special teams hype is absolute nonsense and a bunch of lip service. Rick Goslin, veteran NFL.
Michigan State legend.
He annually compiles a huge special team ranking where he adds up every special teams category there is and rates the league on that. Titans 2018 were 16th, 2019 18th, 2020 24th, 2021 19th, 2022 14th. Once in Vrabel's tenure, they've been top half by one spot. There's no trending up there. I mean, last year was their best year at 14th. They talk and talk and talk about special teams, and they're never anything more than slightly above average on special teams. I don't really think that it's that important to them, because if it was, they'd get good at it.
See, it's funny you say that, though, because, like, okay, so last week
they're nonchalant about kicker annually. They never go get a big-time kicker. They haven't had a consistent returner in all of this time.
Well, that's the thing. So, without knowing a couple of things on that. One, without knowing the intricacies of, and I know Rick, a fantastic NFL reporter for a long time, and that's a really cool thing he does. I would have to assume that a difference-making returner probably changes, right? Like,
well, we're going into year
six. Escalator. Sure. No, I understand. You know, I think they thought they had something with Kyle Phillips a year ago, and maybe he'll get another chance. But so I'm just saying, I assume that's part of it, a decent part of it. Also, I don't know that I agree that they don't care. Like, okay, so
no,
last
they care. They don't know how to make it work.
I mean, Vrabel is out there last week in special teams drills running one of them. You know, like Aukerman's running one of them, and Vrabel's running the other one. And he's
I want Vrabel to take over the whole program.
Stopping it constantly and talking about, because obviously Vrabel as a player, you know, that's how he stuck in the league initially. So
get some results.
Yeah, I can't argue.
And then Aukerman stands up the first time we talked to him this year and said, they want field goals from 40 to 49. That's their gold zone. Daniel Carlson tried like 18 field goals over 50 yards last year, 15 or 18 for the Raiders. Titans tried two.
Yeah. Well,
50 plus is the golden thing now, not 40 to 49. Let's get modern. Well, 40, long field goals are a big deal in the league.
Sure.
He also says their standard for punt returns is catching the ball.
Well, that is a good way to start. 40 to 49, though, to me, that I take that as that's got to be a lot. That's got to be a gimme. 40 to 49 has got to be a gimme. Yeah, I agree that, like, that's why they moved on from Randy Bullock, right? They have to be able to be at the 38 and have a chance to win a game and not have to get five,
we're
seven
move
more yards.
We're going to move hash marks because we're so confident in Randy Bullock. We're just going to move hash marks. We don't need any more yards.
But I don't agree.
I mean, what kind of, that's the pompous attitude they have about special teams.
See, I don't.
It lost them the Giants game.
I don't agree that they've been nonchalant about kicker, but
we're nonchalant the Ryan suck up year.
Yeah, well, that was a huge series of missteps, and starting with him too early, and then just, you know. But look, they've been trying to find a long term kicker, which you have to do. Now you could argue, well, maybe a draft pick needs to be spent at some point, but. But you also look at, like, guys drafted versus guys signed in this league and who is it and made it as a kicker, and it's there's plenty of
– It's like, a crapshoot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what good teams do? They win the crapshoot.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they have with these guys. We didn't get to all your declarations. We will – if you got more, we will later. But we're going to get into the absolute – I said bleep earlier. Bleep show that is college athletics. That's and ridiculous. I want to get PK's thoughts on this ridiculousness. Next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.